The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Let's talk tally, and we're joined as ever by Jennifer Gannon and Ed Smith this evening. And let's start. We have lots of Amazon and Netflix and Sky Atlantic things to recommend. But a lot of people, particularly in areas where there's poor broadband and streaming services, don't have those. So let's start with, I suppose, terrestrial television and the movies that are on. Because one of the things about Christmas is not necessarily finding new things. It's about sort of binge-watching stuff you've seen before, Jennifer.
Yeah, and sitting in your new slipper socks and watching stuff that you're very comfortable with and you can probably quote and kind of chat in between it. And yeah, and one of those, which is one of my favourites, is The Holiday. And it's on RT1 on Sunday, this Sunday at 9:30. And I think The Holiday is for people that don't like Love Actually. I have a problem with Love Actually.
Love Actually is an abomination.
It's very creepy.
Many awful things were meant.
Every man in that is a bit strange, to be honest. But The Holiday is an
and in fairness, I think Love Actually is available on Netflix of all places at the moment. But
The Holiday is a Nancy Myers film, and she is the queen of soft furnishings. She is the lady that gave us It's Complicated with Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin and Something's Gotta Give with Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
Sorry, I've never seen The Holiday. Who's in it?
Cameron Diaz, Jude Law, Jack Black and Kate Winslet and Eli Wallach. So basically it's a house swapping tale. It wouldn't happen in today because it's Airbnb. So basically the two of them swap houses. Kate Winslet is going through a traumatic, she has a gorgeous job which wouldn't exist in the real world where she just writes up wedding notices. That's all. As a journalist, that's her sole job. So she's very unlucky in love and she swaps houses with Cameron Diaz, who is insane in this film. She's a person that just directs trailers. So Cameron Diaz goes from her massive mansion in LA to this tiny picturesque cottage in London, outside of London, which is Lord of the Rings land, it looks like.
The oldie England.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
And then Kate Winslet goes to her massive mansion and they both end up falling in love with people. But the thing about The Holiday is it's very weird because it takes place in this where there's no actual time. It's supposed to be before Christmas and you can never figure out if it's the week before Christmas, 2 weeks before Christmas.
And things
Christmas
move
is constantly
quickly,
referenced,
this is
but it never happens.
As well, is it?
It is on my list. You know, when I went in, I've seen this maybe more than once, and as a devout hater of Love Actually, I went in expecting to hate this as much, and it is actually quite charming. And if you can get past the fact that Jack Black and Kate Winslet,
if you can get past the fact that Jack Black mansplains a load of theme tunes to Kate Winslet,
well, apart
in
from
a
that
shop.
You know what I mean, it's completely improbable, it's completely schmaltzy, it's completely perfect for Christmas.
Okay,
it is wrapping yourself in a comfort
blanket.
It is
like another one, the Lindt chocolate of films.
Or I'm going to go for Christmas Eve, Virgin Media, or is it TV? I always get confused.
It's Virgin Media 1 now.
Virgin Media 1, yeah, thank you, Matt. 3:35 p.m., top five films of all time. The late, great William Goldman's novel turned into The Princess Bride. What can you say? This is an absolute masterpiece, a classic, a flawless film that doesn't have one moment that isn't absolutely incredible.
Never seen it.
What, Matt?
What? It's got Columbo in it.
I've just told you, Virgin Media 1, 3:35 p.m. Sit down with your entire family and watch this. This is, without doubt, one of the great films of all time. And it is absolutely pitch perfect for Christmas Eve. When people are still getting on and there's still a bit of camaraderie and love in the room, why not gather together before you watch Training Day on Christmas Day?
It'll be nice for you to see Robin Wright in it as well.
Oh, she's in it, yeah.
Yeah, House of Cards.
That is true. That is true. Well, I've gone so off House of Cards. The last series was...
It went off itself.
It really went off itself. Okay, give me another choice of movies.
Sing Street, an Irish film.
It's a great movie. We watched that as a family last Christmas and it was brilliant.
I think it's a great Christmas family film. So it's on RT2 Christmas Eve at 10:20. And I think it's a really sweet film and it's more about, like, you know, first loves, but also about the enduring love of music and how that never leaves you even when your first love dies. You know, music is the most timeless relationship of it all, and it's kind of like a mix between Gregory's Girl and, you know, bits of the Full Monty almost, because you know they're just these kids, you know, absolute chancers who are in a band to try and impress a girl, but then also find out that, you know, they really actually are enjoying
it's so relatable for a teenage boy at that time who is so into music but cannot speak to a woman. And I can relate to that to this day.
I love
and
that.
And the songs are really good.
And the song, the music is excellent.
Your next choice,
well, we're going to skip along to Christmas Day, Channel 4, 2:35 p.m. I prefer the afternoon movies, as maybe is evident. 1988, Bill Murray at his finest in Scrooge. Of course, the retelling.
Yes, Roe actually and Brian recently described that as one of the best ever
Christmas movies. Top three Christmas movies of all time. Obviously, it's a retelling of A Christmas Carol where he plays.
Do you have time to sit down and watch the telly on Christmas Day?
Absolutely, yeah.
God, I'd be busy.
Make the time.
Making the dinner, dealing with all the relatives who were in the house. The television actually doesn't go on in our house until about 10 o'clock at night.
Once I put the cutlery out and done my job for the day.
Once you boil that kettle to stick
yes,
it in the pot
and make myself a cup of tea and nobody else. I make the gravy. I can sit. I much prefer those afternoon movies when you're just, you know, you've done your bits in the morning and you've got a couple of hours of dead time in the afternoon watching The Christmas Carol or Scrooge Diva 1988 on Channel 4, 2:35. It's an absolute gem.
Mine is Channel 4, Friday, December 28th, at like 9:45 in the morning, which is weird. But you'll be up. Is A League of Their Own.
Or just tape it and watch
it
later.
Well, that's true.
And tape in a very old-fashioned word. Record it, sorry.
So with the sad news, Penny Marshall just passed away.
Yes.
You know, she was the creator of another seminal Tom Hanks film, Big, and it was the first film directed by a woman to earn over $100 million. So it's nice to give the lady her dues. And A League of Their Own is the only film I will watch that is about sport. But it's not just about sport. It's not just about women's baseball. There's no crying in baseball, P.S. It's about sisterhood, strength, you know, sibling rivalry.
And Madonna's goodness.
And Madonna's All the Way Meg is a perfect role for her. She's cheeky, scrappy and gorgeous. And it also features This Used to Be My Playground, which is one of, you know, it's a dream of a song for a dream of a film. And it's more, you know, to do with the fact that, like, these women were trying to escape the traditional expectations of the women in wartime. And, you know, it also has a nod to single parenthood and widowhood, grieving, poverty. But she does it in such a way where it's not laboured, it's really fun and it's really zippy, and people have dismissed it as some kind of sentimental film, but I actually think it's just a really gorgeous film and she was a great director.
Any other movies?
Stephen's Day, 9:35, RTE2, if you're in for a bit of mindless action crack, as I call it. I really enjoyed Rush, Chris Hemsworth's portrayal of Formula One racing driver James Hunt and his rivalry with Niki Lauda. It was directed by Ron Howard, so you're guaranteed a minimum 7 here. He's very good with the action sequences here. If you're
over Ron Howard, you sort of guaranteed a minimum 7, but never better.
That's about it. He's always solid, in fairness, but it is your. That's all you want, really, in a Stephen's Day when you're stuffing your face with turkey sandwiches.
And classic. Let's actually play a clip a little. This is on New Year's Day, but we're not going to be here next week to let you know about it. And it's on at lunchtime for all of those who've never seen E.T., the extraterrestrial.
Phone? He said phone? Can't you understand English? He said phone.
Home?
You're right. That's E.T.'s home.
E.T. Home phone.
E.T. phone home. Phone home. E.T. phone home.
Oh God, we're all in tears.
Hold on, I'm not sure I've ever sat my children down to watch that.
Imagine. Oh my God.
Princess Bride and E.T.
Four of them are teenagers now.
They will absolutely love it. What are you talking about? The great thing about Spielberg, the genius of Spielberg, is that it's the rewatchability of his films. You can watch E.T. 10, 15, 20 times and still get something from it that you didn't before. It's the same with Jaws, but E.T. is possibly his greatest film
and
is perfect for New Year's.
Schmaltzy. The greatest thing about Steven Spielberg is he captures that melancholy-ness of childhood that not a lot of people can grasp, about the loneliness. And it's all about Elliot just trying to find a friend, really, and he's, you know, feeling badly after his parents' divorce. And I just think it's an absolutely beautiful story.
Okay,
it's timeless.
I have one listener who's rapid fire WhatsApp messages coming in. The Holiday he describes as the worst movie ever made.
Good.
Crying Jude Law makes me want to grab an Uzi.
Oof.
Then he says Apollo 13 is 7. What the flip.
Oh,
right,
we've angered them.
Yes, and when I leave, okay. Listen, tell you what.
Listen, Crying Jude Law is better than Uncrying Alone.
It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas.
No, it will be, of course.
You'll find it.
I suppose Willy Wonka, I think, on Christmas Eve.
But can I just mention the Grand Budapest Hotel is on Film 4 this Sunday. at 20 past 11, and it's a brilliant Wes Anderson film, and it's his usual kind of whimsical, beautifully shot film, but it's worth it for the Ralph Fiennes performance is absolutely outstanding. He is a hotelier, M. Gustav, and it's set in
another
1930s.
Christmas film, is it?
It is kind. It is wrapped up like a chocolate box. That's okay. What it's kind of like.
Really,
Saoirse Ronan is in it. Great.
Yes, it's a really, really good movie. Another listener says, "I'd rather see The Young Offenders than Mrs. Brown, but is RT showing it before the BBC? As I've yet to see the movie. The special, isn't there? A Young Offenders special.
There is a Young Offenders special. Now.
There is, and it tells the tale. I think there's an illness." With it. I can't give too much away because I've heard.
Don't give too much away. The main point is that it's a Young Offenders special.
There's a bit of sadness and it's got a lot of hilarity. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Young Offenders is one of the best things this country's produced in years.
Robert Sheen has a
Robert
little
Sheen's
cameo in it.
Yes,
yeah, from
Love.
You've gone, Jennifer, for quite a lot of baking specials for Christmas.
Yeah, because you know, because everybody likes to lie around at Christmas and eat and judge people's efforts. And I think there's a flip side to that. So once you have the perfection of Christmas Bake Off, which is happening on Channel 4 on Christmas Day at 8 o'clock, and there's two bake-offs over Christmas. So there's one on Christmas Day, there's another one on New Year's Day, and they're splitting up into teams. Well, like they'll have four of the previous contestants and another four competing against each other. So the four, your four on Christmas Day are going to be Liam, Flo, Jane and Andrew. Basically Liam to win. He already has his own show on Channel 4, his baking show on Channel 4. So he was hard done by and didn't win when he was on, so he definitely deserves it. But the big surprise is on New Year's Day, Dr. Tamal is coming back. And he was one of the best contestants Evs, so I'm really hoping that he will win. And basically it's all just about, you know, they're making innuendo and Sandy talking about baubles, and I'm just hoping that Noel Fielding will dress up as old Greg, who's obsessed with Baileys, because Baileys is his festive drink. But that's the perfect side of Christmas bacon. But then there's the flip side, which is Nailed It, which is on Netflix, and this is a show about, you know, how bad people are. It's about average people making average. They're supposed to, you know, replicate these fancy cakes, and it's all people who are terrible bakers. So if anything will make you feel better about yourself, if you've done damage to the turkey, if your roast potatoes are substandard, if you, you know, your family are giving out about your vegetables that are watered down to nothing, stick on Nailed It and you'll just feel so much better about yourself, guaranteed.
Okay, you've gone for a Billy Connolly special, Ed.
Yeah, BBC 21st, actually this Friday and the 28th, it's going to be at 9 p.m. on BBC Two. This is Billy Connolly, Made in Scotland. This is basically Billy Connolly's kind of autobiography told by the man himself as he revisits.
Because he's retired now from performing.
He's retired from public life.
Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, he was diagnosed
with
a couple of years ago. But he made this very heartfelt, warm, moving, and often, as you would expect, hilarious look back on his upbringing. He's quite Dickensian, brutal childhood in Glasgow, how it shaped and formed his, I suppose, his sense of humour as such. You know, he was very well documented in his wife Pamela Stevens's book Billy a couple of years ago, but he goes back and tells the story himself, revisits some of his old haunts, and of course he discusses his recent diagnosis of Parkinson's with a professor who is studying it, who has Parkinson's himself. So it's very, very moving. But Billy Connolly, you know, opening a crisp bag is going to be innately funny. He is one of the great comedians of all time, and it's great to see him telling his own story in his own way.
Now, this is not a Christmas special, but Luther is back on BBC One on New Year's Day at 9 o'clock. And you know what? Who doesn't want to start 2019 with Idris Elba smashing stuff up and, you know, getting rid of bad guys? And it's Series 5, and as always with Luther, it's grim, it's moody, it's violent. And it veers
it's just
into
like
the,
Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It veers into the absolutely ridiculous. But the thing is, it's got Idris Elba wandering around London in his Crombie, and it will probably feature Ruth Wilson as the unhinged paramour psychopath Alice. And that's the right way to start your 2019, I think. I'm really looking forward to it.
Christmas is also time to catch up with things. I'd recommend three box sets. I think they're all on Sky Atlantic, of three of the best programmes I've seen this year. Patrick Melrose.
Very good.
Five episodes, terrific. Benedict Cumberbatch, absolutely brilliant in it. Succession, 10 episodes. Brian Cox, the main star in it, loosely based on the Murdoch family who own all the newspapers and Sky and Fox and all the rest of it. It's absolutely tremendous. And the other one, which I'm just in midway through season two, which came out this year, Get Shorty with Chris O'Dowd, is in turns hilarious and deeply dark, and it is tremendous. They're my choices. Now, what would you suggest people should catch up on, Jennifer?
Well, my TV show of the year, apart from Killing Eve, was Wild Wild Country. It was on Netflix, and it's produced by the Duplass brothers and was made by these other set of brothers, McLean and Chapman Way. And it's about the cults, basically the expansion of, they were the Rashneesh Purim, they were a religious organization, and they settled in Wasco County in Oregon. They basically took over the town, and it is about their controversial guru, the Bhagwan Rashneesh, and his second in command, Sheila. And it's really just such an evocative tale, because they have found footage, so they have the video footage from the ex-cult members, they have local news stories, photographs and interviews of people that were in the cult, so you're not getting secondary information.
It's
right there.
It's actually jaw-dropping, this.
It is, everything in it. But like, the good thing about it is it's really intelligently and insightfully and respectfully told. Like, it's, there's a great humanity to it that, you know, documentaries of this kind are frequently missing. They usually are very sensational. But this has a lot of empathy for the people that were involved in it, and how they thought they were in a utopian society, and how that all just turned crazy bad.
And
for
Sheila is one
reasons.
Of the most magnetic, mesmerizing, frightening.
Brilliant.
And absolutely just
charismatic,
incredible, charismatic woman I've ever seen
ever
on television.
See on TV.
She is worth it for the couple of hours you have to spend watching it. Absolutely outstanding television.
It really is. And as I said, for like documentary wise, it is one of the best ones I've seen, because it doesn't take any kind of tone. It actually is very empathetic towards the people that were in the cult itself. And it's really interesting.
Anything you would recommend to catch up on it?
Well, I just caught recently Bobby Robson, More Than a Manager, which came out on Netflix a little while ago. If you're a fan of sports, especially football, Bobby Robson, considered one of the last gentlemen of football, considering we're all talking about Mourinho and his antics of late.
Didn't he actually advise Steve Staunton when Steve Staunton was
He was brought in, that's right. And he started off, he had great success with Ipswich. Obviously, he brought England to the closest they'll ever get to a World Cup final, maybe, back in 1990.
Well, in fairness, they got to the same stage this year.
Well, I mean, they were the better team, I think. That
1990 was
the closest. And I think he's a good, great contributors here, the likes of Gary Lineker, Jose Mourinho's in here, of course, speaking of which.
Because he was his translator in Barcelona.
Right. He was his translator in Barcelona.
That's how he started.
And there's some great footage of Mourinho in really horrendous 90s shell suit, tracksuits, with his shirt off at one stage, if you're interested in that. Pep Guardiola's in here. Some of the greats of football of the 90s. And they just paint a really warm, affectionate and honest picture of one of the great men of football. He was a genuinely lovely man. And it reminds me of one of my favourite stories of football, where Brian Robson is coming out of the lift and he meets Bobby. And Bobby says to Brian, "How are you, Bobby?" Because Bobby Robson wasn't maybe, you know, he wasn't the maybe sharpest tool in the book when he was under a bit of pressure. So this is a lot of affectionate stories about Bobby Robson, a really lovely gentleman who left us not too soon.
I want to play a clip of something and say what you add in this. You might have viewed this as well, Jennifer. There's been a lot of talk about Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, and one of the most expensive tickets to go and see something. It's showing on Netflix. Let's hear a little bit of how he performs Born to Run in his Broadway special.
Well, the highway's jammed with broken heroes on a last chance power drive. But there's no place left to hide. So together, Wendy, we'll live with the sadness. I'll love you with all the madness in my soul. Someday, girl, I don't know when, we're gonna get to that place where we really wanna go. Tramps like us, baby, we were born to run. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Incredible. That is an excerpt that really kind of sums up Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. He's just finished a 13-month on Broadway. And as you say, it was the hottest ticket in town and probably the most expensive ticket in town, but all the more worth it because you can see it now for free on Netflix. And what they've done here is very hard to capture a concert film, especially Bruce Springsteen, who is notorious for going on for 3 or 4 hours. It's a big bombastic show. What they have here is just him on the stage with a couple of guitars, mouth organ, and he only sings 15 songs, but interspersed with the songs, he kind of tells stories, a lot of spoken word about his childhood, his early days in music. And he's very funny, very moving, very honest. And then he'll bang into an absolute classic Bruce Springsteen song, all stripped back. There's no bells and whistles here. There's no light show. It's just Bruce Springsteen at his most raw and at his greatest.
Give me another choice, Jennifer,
I just
want
to quickly mention, if you don't have Netflix or you don't have access to anything like that, you will have access to All Four, which is Channel 4, and they put up all their box sets online, so you can get them there. And if you missed Red Riding, which came out, a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it is an astonishing three-part series, and it's basically a crime drama that is soaked in the blood and tears of the 1970s in Northern England. It's set in Yorkshire, and it's starring So it's three different films, basically. One, the first one stars Andrew Garfield as a young, cocky journalist, Eddie Dunford, who goes on a mission to investigate young schoolgirls who are vanishing, and then gets embroiled in this murky world of politics and police corruption, and where violence absolutely reigns. And then it continues on into the 1980s with Paddy Considine investigating the Yorkshire Ripper, and the spectre of the Ripper case just looms over the whole series at large. And it's about, you know, misogyny and about doomed history of that kind of lifestyle repeating itself. And it's a veritable who's who of English drama. It's got Maxine Peake, Peter Mullen, Robert Sheen again, Sean Bean.
And where can you access it?
You can get
it?
That on All Four. So it's Channel 4. You can get all stuff online.
And that's
for them,
relatively easy to find online.
Yeah, and it's free.
Okay, very briefly, one more, Ed.
Oh, well, if you're going to go for, I would say, Ellen DeGeneres. I'm a massive fan of hers, obviously. She's well known for her TV chat show during the day. She's come out now with a stand-up special on Netflix, and it shows another side to her, a bit darker, a bit meaner. She's known as this kind of very goofball-y, likeable woman, but it's another side to Ellen, and she's showing it now in this new stand-up. If you want a bit of a light-hearted romp before you get into your red writing.
Give me a 15-second final one, Jennifer.
Babylon Berlin, Sky Atlantic. It's a box set. It's the most expensive foreign language drama ever made. And yet again, three different directors. One of them directed Run Lola Run, and it's basically about the 1920s underbelly of, you know, the decadent Berlin times in, say, places like the iconic Mocha FT bar. And it's about a detective who actually goes to work for the vice squad in Berlin and ends up meeting up with this ambitious social climber, but she's very industrious young lady, Charlotte Ritter, and they end up investigating cases.
And Love Actually, don't forget Love Actually.
Thank you very much, Ed Smith and Jennifer Gannon, for all your contributions throughout 2018. We look forward to your company on television throughout 2019 as well. Thank you very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.